And I was like, why does Porter call you? I don't understand it until this day.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Porter thought that I lived in Oregon for...
Like, he still does, I think.
He's just finding out right now that you don't live in Oregon?
Yeah,
or you never did?
Yeah. So, Nate from Oregon.
Nate from Oregon. Nate, thanks for coming. Sitting down with us. You work here at Go Hunt. We should preface.
I do. Allegedly, we should say that for legal
purposes. We just don't see you very often. It's kind of sad that we don't get to see you.
No, I do. I work on the research team with Brando. Work out of the Cedar office, but I've pretty much been remote since I got hired. Now I'm up in Wyoming.
Must be nice.
So far, a little cold now, but overall, I mean, if you take the average, pretty nice.
Yeah, pretty nice.
So it's been fun. And then I travel down to Cedar office all the time, Vegas office when I can. And
most people don't know you were my roommate for like 5 months, I think it was last year, maybe six.
Maybe not that long.
It was a long time. It was December.
It was a long time.
December through April.
Yes. Porter wants me to snowbird hard. He wants me to do that again, but Brady's,
they checked up.
Yeah. So it's, my room's gone.
It's a little awkward now.
Yeah. So we'll figure something out.
I was sad the other day when I tried to sell you the bed you used, and you said you already had a spare bed.
Kind of, I know.
The bed I made by the log bed in the spare bedroom that Nate really liked. That's what he slept in when he was at my house.
Yeah.
And Omar, you've stayed at his place.
Oh, yeah, sure. Bed? Yeah. Uh-huh. I was like, hey, I'm trying to get rid of it because, girlfriend's moving in.
That's one of the best beds ever.
Rewind. You heard it here first.
Oh, yeah, I guess I haven't discussed this on the podcast. Sorry.
Brady is now living.
So yeah, he's got a roommate coming, but it ain't me.
What's Brady like as a roommate?
We're both similar creatures in the fact that we're pretty simple.
Uh-huh.
Don't need much to survive. And yeah, I mean,
is he up late at night?
Yeah, but we were like opposite end of the spectrum. I was up early. Mm-hmm. He would sleep until it's time to go to work. And then it was the opposite at nighttime. When it was time to go night-night, I went to bed, and that's when he was up doing his thing. And it could have been anywhere from writing articles or banging waste down in the garage, which I never heard, which is fine.
That's because he wasn't really doing it. That's why.
Yeah.
He was out there sitting on the weight bench.
No, he would come outside every now and then in the garage, and I'd be out there.
You guys would throw some weight around?
I don't think we ever had a roommate weight session.
We never did. We
should have.
You never had him yell upstairs, spot me.
I FaceTime him back. Yo, I need a spot real quick.
Oh, my goodness. No, but it was nice. Yeah, it was just easy.
Gotcha.
Two simple creatures.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your official title?
Research expert.
Okay.
Research expert, insider plus lead.
Okay.
Ish.
Which is why we want to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, we're gonna dive into that. That's the main primary reason we wanted to have Nate. We wanted to get to know you better. But then also, we want to dive into what Insider Plus is, which is a new offering. Is that what you call it from Go Hunt? A membership?
Yes, a new membership, a membership upgrade. It's just kind of that gets you a little bit more. A lot of folks have asked for this particular edition for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So finally giving the fans what they want, and so far so good. I'm both ends of the spectrum for the customer and for myself. So
gotcha.
It's been interesting, but we'll dive into
sure. We'll dive into it. We missed promo last podcast. Did you know that?
Yeah, we did. It's kind of hard sometimes we have guests at the expo to do a promo.
Yeah, it's hard.
We apologize.
So they're just enthusiastic to get that in there. So I'm going to hit it this time. We want to hit you with the promo code podcast. You can use that when you sign up in the promo code box. If you sign up for a Go Hunt Insider account, you're going to get $50 back in the Go Hunt gear shop. And you can use that towards the purchase of any equipment that you want in the shop. So you can buy all kinds of stuff. I see new stuff being added all the time, including the new Atmosphere jacket,
which you've got I'm wearing right now.
Is that the name of that thing? Yep. Atmosphere?
The Atmosphere jacket.
Yeah.
Yep. So what is that? $299? $199?
I think it's $200. Somewhere around there, yeah.
You get it for $150.
You could if you use that promo code podcast and spend your $50 on it.
That's it.
I've been wearing a lot.
Yeah. And then shout out Sig Sauer as being a sponsor of the podcast. We only have one sponsor.
Love Sig.
And I heard through the grapevine we might have Tony, the infamous Tony from Sig, on the podcast to talk optics and what they got going on over there. Good old Anthony. Yep, so shout out to Sig. We appreciate those guys. Like their products. We try to mention them, but we probably don't ever do like an actual ad read. But we, you know, shout out to them. They've been really good to us.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? How do you want to tackle this?
Deer versus elk. I just want to get a random question out of the way with them.
Mule deer versus elk?
Mule deer versus elk?
With Nate Bear? Like, which one would win in a fight? Is that what the question is?
That's a good question. We all know mule deer would win. So what would you prefer to hunt?
Tactical advantage, mule deer would win and overall.
One animal to hunt for the rest of your life between mule deer or an elk?
Mule deer, for sure.
Yes.
100%. I think they're just... annually, they have more time, let's say, seasonality. Where they use their brains more and they're harder than elk.
Not true. But I appreciate your effort.
Thank you.
Sorry, I just want to get that out of the way. Now we can just dive into...
Do you want to dive into Insider Plus first?
Insider Plus, yeah. Okay.
So is it live now?
It's live.
Right now?
Right now.
You can purchase yourself an Insider Plus membership.
You can. Best way to do that, so it's a beta program that we're starting. So we're being, I wouldn't say we're not being cautious, but we're, it's like a light launch.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, if you're interested, the best way to look into it is to get a hold of us at Go Hunt, either reach us at Go Hunt or Nate at Go Hunt, shoot us an email and we can get you set up. So you might've seen an email in your email, in your inbox lately. That has the links to it, tells you all about it, stuff like that. So we're kind of testing the waters before we jump in, get all of our ducks in a row. But so far it's done quite well. So it's.
I know we've had people asking. Mm-hmm. I've had DMs, and then I've also had people say, "Hey, when are you going to drop a podcast or talk about Insider Plus?"
Yeah. So basically, I mean, this idea is not like fully new. Right. I mean, this thing has been pitched to us, I mean, before I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And it just ended up, I don't know, going by the wayside. Timing wasn't right, this and that. But they finally decided that now's the right time to do it. We've had enough customer feedback. We've got really a good customer database on either A, those that want it, and we think those that might find it very useful. So that was kind of the reason why they decided to do the launch.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself... have what's the word I'm looking for? I've done it before.
So
experience. I have experience. There you go. Jesus. It's a travel day, folks.
This is a weekly occurrence for me, by the way.
Yeah.
Dude. Daily, actually.
But I have experience myself as far as putting in for folks and running pretty much what Insider Plus is. It's an application service. It's just a different level of membership than your current insider. So right now, current insiders have, you've got maps, you've got research tools, you've got articles, all the content you could ever ask for, and all sorts of good stuff. Insider Plus is just a step above that. And what that is you have everything Insider gives you. But if you're the kind of person that either A, forgets deadlines, misses deadlines, is, you know, fed up with how confusing a lot of these states are, and want somebody to tackle all that for you, it's an application service that we put on for you guys. So it's either an upgrade from your current insider status, or it's people that are brand new that want to know more about it. They can sign up and walk you through the goods.
So basically, you have someone be like, "All right, I'm interested in X state or multiple states, certain species," and you would go in and... basically apply for them, give them suggestions on units and research and help them research maybe, or maybe even help them utilize the tools if they want to learn about the tools, plus do the app service for them.
Right. So far, it's been a mixture of pretty much everything. Not just applications, but, I mean, kind of the way that it would normally work in this scenario is during the time of a certain time of year. This right now time of year is applications. So we'll do applications, help them with their applications. Some people so far have been either 100% hands-off, or they want to be some kind of hands-on. It's kind of 50-50 so far. And some of the hands-off people are like, I'm fed up with this, with trying to figure it out. This is what I want. Rock and roll. And I take the reins, and based on the criteria they've given.
So how does it work? So if somebody signs up, let's say that they, we'll take it from two different situations. We'll say one is that the person is brand new to hunting. They want to hunt the West. They've never really applied, but they, you know, they don't have the time to put into learning all the different draws and how they work and applying and do their own applications. What do they do? Like, how does it work for them?
So if they want to, trying to figure out the best way to tackle this one. If they haven't signed up and they want to know more about it, how this can help.
Let's say they do sign up. What's the first step?
First step is they sign up for Insider Plus, and what they'll get is an automated form that is sent to them to where they can fill out the criteria on what they're looking for. And it has all the states that we offer. And it there's a lot of different questions. I wouldn't say a lot. It's actually very straightforward. It's pretty streamlined. It's got some basic information on there that I would need in order to do this. once they submit that, it comes back to me. And then I can go through it. I have their contact information, all that stuff. I can get a hold of them. We'll set up an hour to sit down and go over pretty much what they filled out and get the ins and outs of what they're looking for. So if it's somebody brand new, they might just do a couple states. As a matter of fact, there's a guy that he's wanted to do Arizona and Oregon, and I think he was in Idaho.
He's from Oregon. He's got to be from Oregon.
he was surprisingly, we'll get into this too, is a lot of these are east of the Rockies.
I mean, I say it jokingly, but I mean, that's the type of question and guidance that people would probably need, right? Like if you're not from Oregon, I mean, I've historically told people don't apply in Oregon because it just doesn't make sense for most of us as a non-resident, right?
Right.
But a lot of people don't know that. I mean, if you're brand new to it, and I think that's part of the, rather than having to go into redo the research on your own, I mean, that's probably some of the guidance that you can offer those people.
Yeah. So I'll get a hold of them. We'll schedule an hour, and then we'll go through their form of where they wanted to go, what they want to do, what they're looking for. What are you getting out of it?
What kinds of questions are on that, or what kind of questions would you ask that individual?
So it'll run through state by state. So you can go through, if you don't want to put in for a state, it'll just jump right to the next one. And so if you, Arizona, I want to hunt Arizona, you'd click, yes, I want to hunt Arizona. Then it says, it'll ask you the type of species, the weapon type, the quality of hunt that you're looking for. And that's more along the lines of, are we looking for something that's going to take 20 years, 10 years, 2 years kind of thing.
Kind of broken out by year then, like length of time it might take you to draw?
So I've built it to where there's, yes, to your question, there's a time frame in there. There's also, like for random states, do you want decent odds, good odds, shit odds, either X, So I've written them out so they fit for them all. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense regardless if it's a point state or not.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to elaborate on any of that stuff, because once I kind of get the big three, then I know what we're working with, because it's not until I actually talk to the person of exactly either A, what they're looking for, that I find out more. And then that's when I'm in serious note-taking mode, is depending on the customer, depending on the insider. So, and then if they're brand new, I'll tell them how the states work that they choose and this and that, and kind of what I would suggest based on what they want. I might give my opinions on a few things, but if, so far the people that want to explore some new states, they're all about it. So, and a couple of people for the most part are looking for that mid-tier, that four to six year type thing. You know, it's definitely a plan.
They want a good hunt, but they don't want it to be completely crowded.
So that's another thing too, especially those who got to travel too. You don't want to, let's just say there's hunts you don't want to either burn that much fuel to go do, because it's an investment just to go. So yeah, that's a big part of the conversation as far as what we want to apply for and mm-hmm. what we don't. So.
As you talk to folks, how what do you feel like the biggest bottleneck is for most people? Like, what is it? Do you have a sense of, like, is it the states that they're confusing? I mean, some people probably just don't have time, right? Like, they're busy with life and jobs and they want to hunt, but they just don't have the time to put into it.
So far, the most is they don't have the time mm-hmm. to figure out the different states or how the systems work, whatever.
Right.
So it either confuses them, they don't have time, but they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest one so far. There's actually a couple people that I've been talking with the last couple weeks that are members. Like I said, they're as hands-on as it gets. They've been putting in for points for all these states for the last 10 years, and they want to keep on doing it. And they're to the point now where they're getting too busy, yeah. and they would just want me to...
They want some guidance as well, probably.
Correct.
Like, I don't know.
Now that they're to that yeah. point where we're like, hey, we might be able to draw some stuff.
Yeah. And, yeah. It becomes real, right?
Yep.
And they want to bounce it off somebody. It's funny, like, no matter how long you've done this, and I've done it for 20 years... you know, you've done it for probably that much. We still bounce ideas off each other
all the time.
Like, we still talk internally a bunch. I still talk to other buddies and say, you know, I've got this many points. What do you think? You know, what do you know about this unit? And I mean, I have all the knowledge. I have all the, you know, I know how the draws work and how to apply. I know everything in regards to that, but there's still, sometimes you do just want like that extra little bit of like vote of confidence that I'm going in the right direction.
You want to bounce an idea off someone else who,
yeah.
you know, might think similar to you or maybe thinks differently than you just to get mm-hmm. a different perspective on things.
Not to mention, too, you think about what you just said. We've all been doing this 15, 20 years, right? And, I mean, units, hunts, mm-hmm. things change, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I learned that a couple of years ago, something that I've been dead set on for 10 years. Finally got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It was different than what it used to be. You know, so, I mean, just even some of that kind of knowledge, too, that's...
Mm-hmm.
bounce ideas off people.
And I think too, for the person who just doesn't have time on their side,
mm-hmm.
it's a great avenue. Like, I always, you know, I reference my brother a lot talking about hunting and stuff, but like, you know, he owns his own business. He has a brand new family, you know, he's got a little one, you yep. know, time is not on his side. And so it's like those people who, you know, are just really busy. Obviously he loves hunting, but he just like doesn't have the time to sit down, to use the product fully, to dive into it. He has a membership.
Yeah.
You know, but he just doesn't have it. He has me, obviously, you can, you know, reach things out to, but it's like, those are the people that I think will really benefit from Insider Plus is like, they want to go hunting. They want to set up that 5-year, 10-year plan or right now plan. And they just want to like have someone help them out, guide them through it, do the apps, you know, put the states, do the whole app process. And
yep.
once they get tags, you know, help them out as well.
Yeah. I've noticed, like I was saying earlier, like a lot of people that are east of the Rockies, They've tasted Colorado,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? Now they want more,
right? Uh-huh.
And then the you know it's almost like the further you get away from it, the less you know, the harder it is to figure out. And those guys have been really appreciative of this,
mm-hmm.
and that's where a lot of our customer feedback has come from. Is a lot of guys that are on the East Coast. Hey, when are you guys going to come out with this? When are you guys going to do that? Do you guys do this?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah.
What's the So you get everything that Insider is. So you get maps, you get access to application research articles, you get draws,
mm-hmm.
you get filtering, you get all that, right? As well as, you know, points back in the shop if you shop in the shop. And then so what's the cost?
So the cost for let's say you're a non-Insider or non-member of Go Hunt, if mm-hmm. you wanted to sign up, it's $500 for the year.
Okay.
And for somebody who's currently an Insider, it's a prorated discount. So depending on when you signed up for Insider, will depend on how much your discount is, but it could be anywhere from, you know, $0 to $150, depending on where at in the year that you are.
Gotcha.
If you're 6 months into your Insider membership, you just save $75.
Right.
So, and it restarts your clock. And
so if you sign up for this Insider Plus, let's say that you're not a member, you sign up $500 for mm-hmm. the year annually, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do how many states?
So
how many species?
We're doing one cost for everything. You know, there's, I guess you could say competitors now, but there's other people that do this and they, we looked at, I guess, what you would call the market pricing on a lot of this stuff, and that's where we based our numbers off of. And we, to start off and to scale it off, we wanted to make it simple for the user, mm-hmm. right? So if you're going to upgrade to a membership, we're not going to charge you for this. We're not going to
per species.
Correct. Right. We're not going to break it up, make it smaller, make it more confusing. So the price is the price. For the states that we offer, which I think there's
16, 17.
You can do whatever state you want to apply for, however many species you want to apply for, et cetera.
Can we think about it that way? It's a screaming good deal.
Oh, it's a phenomenal deal.
You know, like there's a lot of species in a lot of states, obviously, and like mm-hmm. certain ones, like, you know, New Mexico. Look how many species there are there. Trying to figure out how many to do your whole app plan in New Mexico or.
Yeah.
Based on where
three choices per species, most of them.
You know, based at where competitors are, we're right in the middle, a little cheaper. Plus, it includes your insider membership.
Yeah, you get everything
else. So
it's
a lot more bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. It's one thing.
Right. One-stop shop.
So, man, somebody pays $500, you will apply them for any and all species in any state that we cover.
Correct.
And they can request that you help them, or they can just simply fill out the form, shoot it to you, and you'll pick hunts that kind of fit their objectives based on 100%. The feedback that they gave you. And it's free and clear, done, and you do it, and it's over with.
Yep. Yeah, I mean,
and then they draw tags and go hunting.
For those that are listening, I mean, if like I said, you can be as hands-on as you want or as hands-off as you want. It's just, it's based on everybody's personal preference.
Hmm. Gotcha.
But
you want to get to know Nate better now? I want to know how did you come to be this guy? Like, the you're kind of heading this up, right?
Insider Plus?
Yeah. Right? I mean, yeah, you're the program lead for it, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if you remember or Brady. I don't know if Brady remembers or not. Brando and Porter remember this. Before I worked for Go Hunt, I used to work in the oil industry and the nuke industry. And I used to tell people I had a real, used to have a real job. Yeah. And
the nuke industry?
Big deal.
So on the for fun on the side, I figured if I'm making money, I might as well spend it. So I published my own Western big game hunting magazine.
Okay,
for
I didn't know that.
3 or 4 years, something like that. I mean, it wasn't that big, but
the Nate Bear Chronicles.
It was big enough.
That's a good name.
As a matter of fact, it was the first year that Go Hunt started.
Okay,
so 2013. Yep. And they did the Rocky Mountain Elk. Christmas, the first year Rocky Mountain Elks did Christmas in Vegas.
Yep.
Yeah, we were there, had a booth.
I remember
you guys had a booth, I had a booth. And I went down and signed up with you guys. I think if you look in the records, I'm like number 20.
I hope I dealt with you and signed you up.
I had no idea. I didn't know this backstory.
Yeah. I actually didn't either. I was going to mention that in a second. Like, I did not know this.
You know who signed me up? He doesn't work with us anymore. But Mr. Smith signed me up.
Yep.
Yep.
Gotcha.
And later that day, it was Cody, Brando, it was Porter and Lorenzo. They came down to mine and signed up for the magazine and this and that. So that's how
the connection got made.
Yeah. And I probably, it was same, like between Porter and myself, like once a year, I'd be like, hey, what tags you get? Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Good. Good luck. That was it.
What kind of magazine was it? Was it mostly like user stories and hunting stories, or was it like more research based?
Both. It was very small. As a matter of fact, the guy that built it, design and shit like that, his name's Jeff Hunt. He does Mule Deer Foundation, yeah, or yeah. did. Yeah. yeah. He was the guy that designed mine and built mine. So the best part about it wasn't very big. It was probably half the size of normal magazines, but it looked legit. Right?
Well, yeah, that's cool. Right?
I think I had 1,500 or something like that subscribers.
That's pretty good.
Made zero money on it. Just did it for fun.
Pet project.
But it was hunt stories for people that wanted to put in or send in. I'd reach out to folks. And a lot of it was research-based.
Mm-hmm.
So I would pick a certain species or a state or whatever, and I would break the hell out of it. Any sort of data you could want, I throw in there. And on the side, and this is, I think of it now, it's kind of funny. On the side, I did tag applications with that. And so I did that for 3 or 4 years.
Gotcha.
Looking back at it now, I probably never would have done that. Just looking at like the legality side of it. Because it was so under the, my whole thing was so under the table, it was ridiculous. And now with us, I'm thinking to myself, boy, well, I should have had some legal jargon in there somewhere.
You only know what you know, right?
Yeah.
Huh. Do you like that kind of stuff? Research, I mean, statistics?
I do. I mean, I used to, like I said, when I had a real job, I would sit down and I would break everything apart. Mm-hmm. And I did that for forever. I mean,
I'm sure a lot of people who are listening know, or maybe they don't, that you still do write application strategy articles for us. You've been doing that for quite a while, along with Trail.
I do.
Myself and Dave and
yep.
a few other folks. And
yeah, it was just a weird timing. And yeah, I mean, I look at data, I look at odds. I've been doing that for years and still do it.
Yeah.
When, but the fact that I had the tag application background mm-hmm. was the fact, that's why they brought it up to me and said, hey, do you want to do this?
Yeah.
And I said, sure.
I know.
It's rock and roll.
I know occasionally in Slack, if I follow along on our internal Slack channel, I'll see Nate drop like a response to a customer service question about a draw strategy or a statistic, something like that. And every once in a while, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's one I haven't looked at in a long time. But Nate knows that one either off the top of your head or you have to know how to where go find it. And every once in a while, I'll see a nugget and I'm like, oh, man, I'm not as sharp as I once was. So kudos to you. Well, I always look for those little nuggets and I'm like, oh, yeah, I knew that at one point, but I forgot because there really is. I mean, it's funny because that kind of thing, and I've done it, the internal like workings of a draw system or state or species or, you know, all the things that go into that, including, you know, odds and populations and buck to doe ratios and trophy quality. There's like so much information and really like you have to live and breathe it.
Yeah.
To be proficient with it. Mm-hmm. It has to be day in, day out. Has to be your whole world that you live in.
Well, it's crazy. It's just like on an annual update of new hunts.
Yeah.
What hunts they take away. Everything. I mean, look draw at Utah this changing. Year.
Yeah. Like, what's that going to do? You have to have a pulse on what people are thinking and how the systems work to have a decent idea of what is going to happen if something changes, and things change all the time.
Yep.
Price increases.
Prices increases
has a huge impact on where people apply and why, and whether they buy a point or whether they decide to apply.
Yeah. In tune with weather.
Yeah. Weather. I mean, there's so much. I mean, we've talked internally about Colorado changing in 2028 and what that's going to do. And we've speculated, and I feel like I go back and forth. I'm like, I'm on the fence about it, you know, but I think to really have a full breadth of understanding of what that could potentially mean for somebody that's applying, like you really do have to just live and breathe that day in, day out. Yeah. You have to be looking at hunts and hunt codes and looking at odds, you know, over and over and over to get your thumb on it. It's a lot. So good on you.
It's a daily thing.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know. I remember. I've been there. Yeah. Yeah. You live and breathe it. It's fun. There's a part of that that's like really fun. You know, when you really dive deep into that and you're not doing, you know, a bunch of other stuff that you get scattered. Like when you're really solely focused on that kind of stuff, you do learn a lot. Like you start to pick up nuggets and little pieces of information. You might look at a biology report from Wyoming, you know, or you might talk to somebody, a guide or an outfitter or somebody that hunted that unit, and you start to pick up and learn. Like the amount of info that you pick up is, you really can't do it unless that is all you do.
Yeah. No, it's
so yeah. Kudos to you, and it'll be a fun adventure as you get deeper.
Yeah, and with this, with adding Insider Plus to the plate, you know, it's going to get busy. But with everybody that I've dealt with so far that has upgraded or signed up, I mean, what I forgot about was meeting the new people, talking to the new people. And it's more than just, hey, I want to put in for this. You know, I mean, you're talking and, you know, swapping stories back and forth, getting to know some of these people. And
it's as much or more of that.
Yeah.
Getting to know people and building a relationship with them.
Yeah.
That part, really fun.
I haven't done that in a long time. Mm-hmm. So that part of it has been.
Yeah, it makes it exciting.
Yeah, it's actually refreshing.
It's really rewarding, isn't it?
Yeah.
The other thing about that kind of interaction is that you start to get a gauge. And when you live inside a bubble, which I do a lot, I really only am worried about my own applications for the most part, maybe my kids. I kind of live in a bubble. And I know what an opportunity means to me. I know what hunting means to me. But when you start to help people and you put together strategies for them and you start to apply them, you get invested and you also start to understand and like get an inside look on how much this stuff means to them. And it's so fun to like when somebody draws a tag, you know, and you come back and you get to have that interaction with them again on how a hunt went. It's so rewarding. It's really fun.
I was talking to one of our customers about that the other day. I'm like, one of the neatest things is for all the hunts that you guys are putting in for, like, I can't wait to like call and say like, holy shit. Yeah. Do you have any idea what we just drew?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I say we, cause it's like one tie, all tie. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like your buddy gets something cool. It's like, yeah.
Do you realize what we just did? Yeah.
I'm not going with, I'm just saying, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on the flip side, I mean, it's a new program. So here in a year or so, you're going to start to see those come back to fruition, you know, like in October, November, December, you're going to start seeing harvest photos and you're going to get to talk to those people that are going to call up and say, man, I had an incredible hunt, you know, or had a great experience with my kid or whatever it might be. But that's, when you live in a bubble, like I do a lot of the time, I don't get to experience near as much of that as I used to, but it's really, really fun and like really rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Now, so far it's been a blast. Looking forward to all that.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I'm kind of like you. It's draw odds. So it's numbers and data. Mm-hmm. And then the good thing about throwing this on top is, like you said, it gets me out of the bubble.
Yeah.
Didn't I see one other thing on here too? So you will do some like e-scouting help people too. So once they do draw tags, if you're Insider Plus member.
Yep. But alongside with that is, if you've got questions based on the tags that you have for that year, this and that, you know, you have my contact information, get a hold of me. We can either shoot me a text, shoot me a call, or we can schedule a meeting, whatever. And if that's from e-scouting, hey, I've got this tag. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about these spots. What do you think? We can either jump on a call and do it. We can, you know, little questions, big questions, doesn't matter, but that's kind of what you're paying for. And oddly enough, we've secretly been doing this for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
We really have. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, as an Insider Plus member, by all means, if you've got e-scouting questions, you want help about, you know, the unit that you got, opinions, tactics, where to camp, where to go, what do you think about this glassing knob? Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
If it's a new hunt, new area, I mean, we can talk about gear. You know, hey, if you haven't done this before, it might be a little colder.
And that's a big one, too. It's kind of hard for a lot of people. Like, even though we do a lot of gear videos, you know, on YouTube, we do gear list articles all the time. But, like, still someone can talk to you on the phone when they have a specific hunt and just want to ask you gear questions about, like, you know, what clothing should I wear? What boots? You know, what kind of temperature am I dealing with? Like, safety and survival things. Like, you can watch all the videos all the time, but, like, getting to talk to someone,
thing that you miss out on in a gear dump video, and we do those, and I've thought this quite a bit, what you miss is the, like, the practical application of that in the field. And you don't necessarily, you might get to see it, like, in a hunt film if we do an Insider Original or something like that, and we release it, you might get to see some of that equipment in the field and how we're using it, but just being able to, like, have a conversation with somebody and say, because I have people all the time like, oh, I use a bivy, I see in a tarp, but like, how do you use it? Like, really? Like, how many nights are you actually sleeping in that thing and where? And, you know, don't you worry about this? I get a lot of questions about water and filtering and, you know, do I have to? Is a filter a purifier, you know? Yeah. Or
how far are you hanging meat in grizzly country?
Yeah, like, right. What, you know,
precautions for that?
How far away should I hang it? How high? Mm-hmm. Yeah, all those types of questions. I mean, you might watch a video and get a sense of it, but you don't really grasp the full depth of it unless you get a chance to kind of bounce those ideas off of somebody that's done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
which is a cool opportunity.
I hate the sidebar, but...
Sidebar. Ooh. We love sidebars. I hope it's like so far in left field.
So far. So far.
What do you got?
Bears and hanging stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bears in general. Black bears. Just the little baby fuzzy guys.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hang your food? And if so, how high? How far away from camp?
I'll let Brady answer it because he's the bear man. You hunt more bear country than I do.
I hang it. Kind of depends. If I know I'm gonna be in grizzly country, then I'm definitely a lot more cautious. And usually it's 10, 15 feet up into a tree at least. 5 to 8 feet away from the tree trunk. Try to get off on some main branches so I can't have like a little black bear crawl up it and try to like reach out there and try to grab it. And that was me. I just think about grizzly bear, how they can stand up, and obviously I want high enough where they can't stand and reach it and like try to paw at it a little bit. But like if I know them, and again, this is just me, don't do this if you don't feel comfortable, but like I'll cook near my camp if I'm just in black bear country. Like if I'm hunting black bears, I'm cooking right there. I'm not like going 100 yards away cooking. But if I'm in like really thick grizzly country, like I'm not cooking at my camp. I'm not even brushing my teeth at my camp.
Yeah, no food, nothing smells.
Because like toothpaste, that can attract bears.
A grizzly bear will kill me, and I don't mess around. I don't mess around with grizzlies in grizzly country. Like I take all the precautions. Black bears, I can generally give two rips.
Yeah, but if I'm leaving,
I just don't care. I mean, I the one thing I do worry a little bit about, and I know I've had friends that have had their tents destroyed. Like they've been out and they've left food and stuff like that. So I try not to leave food in my tent. But I probably won't go to all the time and effort to, hang it and stuff.
But definitely during the middle of the day, if I'm going hunting, I'm hanging my food then. I'm not going to leave it sitting on the ground, or I'm just packing it on my back if I'm hiking around. Then it's not a big deal, but situational.
Yeah.
Or another little tip is just, peeing around your camp too. You can do that. Mark your territory.
I've never done that.
Keep a bear scared.
I've always at least kept it away from camp. Mm-hmm. Like regardless, If I can find something to hang it off of, I'll hang it.
Sometimes it's the worst trying to find things to hang on, though. That's the issue. Like, it's hard.
But if I can't and I'm not in grizzly country, and like I said, just black bear, I just keep it away from camp. Because generally, if you're there,
Hunting in grizzly country is interesting because the individuals that do it more often become very comfortable with it. I had my brother, Tyler. He lives in Wyoming in Riverton. The guy hunts solo all the time. All the time. Grizzly country. He just doesn't give a rip. And I was asking him about it the other day, and he was like, I don't know, man. He's like, initially I remember being like a little bit timid and afraid and intimidated by it. But the more times he does it, the more comfortable. And he's like, I'm probably at a point now where I'm maybe potentially too comfortable. Yeah. He's like, so it's a good reminder all the time. It's just like a matter of like being more cautious and just like keeping your head on a swivel and being more bear aware, I think. But For most people, myself included, being from Southern Utah, where I don't have to deal with grizzly bears, I mean, it's a real, it gets in my head.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you guys in Wyoming and Idaho and Montana, I think you probably, your level of comfort in hunting around big bear country is probably a lot more, just probably a lot more ease than somebody like I would. Or Brady.
What's trippy is if it's a new place.
Sure.
And it's dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's when my head goes nuts.
Yeah.
And it's not like... I've power walked, pistol drawn, music up, and singing my ass off, going 4 miles back to the truck. If it's like, I remember doing that one time last summer, and because I knew I was in grizzly country, and I had just come through there during the day to see what I wanted to see, and I'm headed out just because it was brand new and dark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, everything got going in the head. There was bears all over the place.
Yeah.
What I always try to tell myself is like, I respect bears so much. Like talking grizzlies here, like respect them, want to give them their space, want to do everything smart, but I don't want them to impact me enough that I am so scared of dying that I'm not living.
Yeah.
Like I don't want that. I don't want them to impact my life and how I hunt. Like I don't want that, but I respect them, give them the space, but I just don't allow it to totally impact my life.
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever stop me from going into a place or hunting something.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give them the respect they deserve. I'll be prepared and this and that, but it won't keep me from going.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't mean I won't scare the shit out of myself. Yeah. Time or two.
Yeah, I drew a tag in Wyoming a number of years ago, and my brother went with me, and we hit the trailhead right at dark. Like it was just getting dark. And my brother was like, let's just throw out here at the trailhead and we can hike in tomorrow. And I was like, nope. I'm like, I've been waiting for this tag. I'm like, we're going. And he was like, you're going to hike in there in the dark? And I said, no, we're going to hike in there in the dark.
Yes.
You're coming with.
Big difference between solo or.
No, he was a great sport. He was like, yeah, let's go for it. And we took off. We had some uncomfortable moments that night. Just like deer, you know, eyes in the headlamp. And at one point, you know, there's a pretty decent likelihood that we maybe did bump into a sow and maybe a cub. But, you know, no issues. But it was definitely unnerving. And I look back on that now and I'm like, man, my desire to get it back in there and hunt elk must have been just through the roof. Because I was just like, everything else be damned, I'm going, you know. I wouldn't recommend that per se. Not really, but I guess it just depends on how bad you want it.
Yeah, if it's a new place, I at least try to go in.
Yeah,
in the daytime.
Daylight. Mm-hmm.
The reason I came out that night is because where I was going, there was no water.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, all right, well, plan B tomorrow. And I'm thinking, shit, do I stay? Do I not? And I thought, you know what? Just
yeah,
you're fine. Just get out of here. You know.
How long you been hunting? Did you grow up hunting?
I grew up hunting.
Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up southeast, yes, California, high desert.
Oh,
so
really?
East I'm side learning of the all Sierras. Kinds of
new. I think I probably knew you were from California, but
yeah.
That's what's funny when you always say, "Oh, Nate from Oregon." It's not from Oregon. Yeah.
Now it's Nate from California.
I mean, he was close, but
yeah. So you grew up in California?
Yeah, the eastern side of California.
Okay.
Which is actually, I mean, for an outdoorsman, for somebody that wasn't blessed to grow up somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, you got everything you want to do.
See?
If you want to shoot it, you got it. If you want to fish, you got it. Well, I mean, just rabbits, coyotes, deer, bear, ducks, geese. I mean, we were in one of the, for California, there's really two main flyways, and somebody might eat this up and call me an idiot, but you've got the Central Valley and you've mm-hmm. got the Owens Valley on the eastern side. So, I mean, there's a huge flyway for ducks and geese. Chucker. Quail.
Yep.
Like I said, if you were into hunting or outdoors, you actually kind of had to be. Otherwise, what are you going to do out there?
Nothing. Right.
So yeah, I mean, you grew up, and when I grew up at the time where like it was like not okay to bring like a 22 or a 20 gauge to school anymore. You know,
it was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Everybody had a shotgun in the gun rack.
We could do
a text their pickup.
Yeah, it was like midway through senior year where the principal finally like. Guys, you got to go home and take those guns out. We're like, well, we're going duck hunting at lunch.
Yeah.
<You know?
laughs> I used to take, we had an 18-foot metal canoe, and I would take a couple of tie downs, and we would put that thing on top of my little Plymouth Horizon hatchback car, and we would run tie straps underneath the doors, you know, like through body of the car,
yeah.
And we'd strap that canoe down, and then we'd skip seventh period and go fishing.
Nice.
That's what I did.
Yeah, I mean, growing up as a desert rat, I mean, like I said, you didn't have very many options, so mm-hmm. it was just go have fun.
Did you? When did you move from California?
It wasn't until I was out of college.
Okay, where'd you go to school?
Chico State.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the mascot of Chico State? I want to know.
Wildcats.
Oh, the Wildcats.
Do it again.
For those that are watching, Omar just did the greatest motion. Impersonation of a bobcat.
Yeah, then I went, that's when I went to Wyoming first time.
What'd you study at Chico State before we move on?
Mechanical engineering.
Okay.
Which was great for the math portion of it. Everything else I hated. I just loved the math portion of it.
Interesting.
But Newcastle, Wyoming. On the yep. east side of the state, over there by Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got my first lick of Wyoming. Then I went into the oil industry and then the nuke industry. And it, which is funny, the oil industry brought me back to California.
Mm-hmm.
With Central Valley, just outside of Bakersfield, there's monster, you know, oil field out there.
Mm.
And then I transferred to the Pinedale or a Casper office
mm-hmm.
in the oil industry when we were drilling up on the Mesa. And that's where I originally found Pinedale, which is where I live now.
Gotcha.
And so ever since then, I thought someday, somehow.
Yeah. You like Wyoming then?
Yeah, I do. I love it.
It's pretty nice for a resident.
But I've been hunting my whole life, to answer your question.
Deer.
Deer. Yeah. we would always get a bear tag just for fun. We'd always find bears in the worst places ever, so we never shot them, ever. What's that?
You're missing out. Should have went after them.
Oh, we should. I mean, California was like, I don't know. Some people might disagree with this. Cinnamon bears, man.
Mm-hmm.
Fuckers are everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more Cinnabons than black bears. Probably not, but I'm just saying it from my experience.
A lot of color face bears, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd be deer hunting, and there's two bears in the canyon, and I know shit, there's junipers and pinyon pines where I grew up, mm-hmm. and we're sitting there glassing, and 60 yards away, this Cinnabon gets up on top of this pinyon pine, and he's eating pine nuts out of the pine mm-hmm. cones, sitting on top of the tree. It was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
Like, wow. I've seen bears do stuff like that, to where it's like, oh, you cute little
bears
bastard.
Are cool.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't kill you when you're doing that.
Yeah. I remember baiting bears one time with a buddy that had a tag in Utah, and we did the old, you know, marshmallow, Jell-O mix, syrup, did the whole burn, melted it all up real good, mm-hmm. poured it all over this big dead log, and we had this sow. She would come in, and my buddy had the tag, but we would sit opposite trees, so we had two tree stands. She would come in and she would take her claws and she would just pop out like little pieces of that, like little dead, you know, with the stuff on it. And she would just eat it like popcorn. You could hear her just like popping her jaws and just smacking. She'd sit there on her haunches and just pick that stuff off and eat and eat and eat. And she'd have, it looked like bubble gum because it was pink, right? Because we'd use the Jell-O mix. Her paws would be all, you know, covered in pink, and she'd just be sitting there eating that stuff like popcorn. It was the funnest thing, man. It was a great time of year, you know, spring, all mm-hmm. the birds are singing, just the weather's good. Just sit here and, you know, I mean, great, best day in a tree. Sit and watch her eat, it was fun. Bears are cool. What do you like to hunt up there in Wyoming? Mule deer?
Primarily mule deer. So, like, in California, that's really all we had, mm-hmm. right? I mean, sure, we'd ooh and ah at the tules and go chase them around when we were goose and duck hunting, but could never touch them.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, hunting out of state wasn't really a thing. So, I mean, all we had was deer and chuckers. So I grew up hunting deer and chuckers.
Is your area more mule deer or bucktail?
So what's interesting is there's, like, 5 or 6 different subspecies of mule deer in California, right? So up towards around the Tahoe area, Alturas, above Tahoe, you have actually real Rockies. Then the string of Rockies comes down into what's Inyo mule deer, and then it comes down into like a blacktail cross. And then they actually have, I forget the name, a desert strand has zero blacktail in it, but they've got ears like you wouldn't believe and the nose of the blacktail. I remember reading up on the different strands.
Brady, you have to get his deer book out.
When you get on the west side of the Sierras, you start getting more into a blacktail cross, and then it eventually, once you cross 99 or I-5, it's pretty much all blacktail.
Magical line.
Yeah. I mean, there's some on both, but mm-hmm. The farther, I was like right on the edge of your mule deer blacktail cross and your Inyo strand of mule deer.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of cats.
Lions?
A lot of lions. You'd be chasing one deer for 3 years, and all of a sudden kitties come in, and that dude disappears, and you never see him again.
Yeah, no,
that's the thing about the Eastern Sierras is you could see the deer hunt numbers go way down over the years. And they're just so few and far between, which I think helped me personally when I actually got into like other states when mm-hmm. where there's like real deer numbers, because it was like, wow, this shit's easy.
Makes you feel like a lot better hunter. Like, I was a really good hunter the whole time. I just lived
California,
in a hard state.
No deer, you know, conditions, no water, dry cats.
Uh-huh.
You get to a real state and it's like, oh my God, look at everything.
Yeah.
Look at all these animals. But, Wyoming was the first place that I actually like went out and applied mm-hmm. finally as an out-of-stater.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that kind of just sprawled out from there. Started out deer, then elk. Haven't done antelope yet.
Oh man. Gosh, you got to commit some time.
You live in Wyoming and you haven't got into antelope.
There's more antelope than you humans over there.
You got to get into antelope.
I put in for them.
Sure.
just haven't drawn a tag yet.
I've gotten to where
I could if I wanted to go to the
I've gotten to where I about have to have an antelope tag every year. Try to find some place to go antelope hunting. I just like hunting them that much. Nice. I just think they're one of the coolest animals. I've said it so many times. I'm sure people are sick of it, but man, they're cool.
Oh, it's a state bird of Wyoming. They're everywhere. I want to kill one. You know?
State bird of Wyoming.
State bird of Wyoming. Yeah. He's an antelope, huh? What's the best part about living in Wyoming?
There's nobody there.
Yeah.
Is my favorite part.
I'd fit in great there. I just like being by myself.
Yeah, people would go, isn't it lonely? I'm like, well, I mean,
it's great.
Solitude.
Not really. You don't have to deal with, I mean, there's...
That's what I always laugh about every time Porter in some of our meetings is like, yeah, you know, Nate made the sacrifice living in Wyoming. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. No sacrifice there.
It was I took one for the team, you know, I had to. Yeah.
Somebody had to do it.
But it's just easy. Yeah. I remember the first time I went there, it was when I went out for oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking down the street in Pinedale. This was probably 2010. I was walking down the street and everybody I walked past said hello.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, hey, how you doing? Good. First time in my freaking life I'd ever like.
Nice people.
Yeah. And that was when I had that moment of, this place is a little different.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just one of those things. It's just quiet. I like quiet. I cringe when I have to come, you know, down here.
Sure.
Same thing with Vegas. Get in, get out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm in Vegas once a week, and I think I've been to the Strip one time in the last, like, 7 years, I want to say. Yeah. And it was probably for, like, a team dinner or something we did, maybe Christmas or something. Yeah. Went to a Knights game. But I think that's probably the last time I was on the Strip.
You know, people have asked that, like, well, what's it like? You got to go, you know, ever since, hey, I got to go down for, you know, like our Christmas thing. I'm going to go down to Vegas for, oh, cool, you're going to go to Vegas. I'm like, you know what? When I'm there for work, it's like,
yeah, I just
I could not even notice the Strip.
Yeah, I just take the 215 around, and our office is on the southwest side of town. And I just go straight to the office, and it's pretty. Yeah, it's super mellow, actually.
Yeah, I mean, people are like, "Oh, that's got to be the greatest thing ever." I'm like, actually, I just don't even really notice it. I guess
that's not what you're into, huh? You got plans this year? You making plans? How are you going to balance? I mean, how are you going to balance you know, all the duties that this entails and then your own hunting plans.
So interestingly enough, so far, well, I mean, the good thing about application service is that it's pretty much going to peter out.
Yeah.
Mid-June physically apply. I have a deadline sheet, but roughly, right? So that part of it is seasonal. And of course I'm around all summer to do it. But when it comes to hunting time, I mean, you want to get a hold of me, get a hold of me.
Yeah.
But you're going to be hunting. I'm going to be hunting the same time you're going to be hunting. So hopefully we share some kill stories afterwards. But don't be shy on getting a hold of me or trying to call me or whatnot, because it's not just me. If I get a message or something like that, I mean, we got people we can pass you off to. But as far as my plans, no, I've got pretty much middle of September blocked till the 1st of October for deer. And then
that's not what I thought you were going to say.
That's the best thing to say. That's the only thing to say.
Middle of September
to October for deer.
Omar, what happens middle of September?
Yeah.
The elk rut. That's it.
Oh, you don't have a like a
full stop.
You don't have a little motion for the elk rut?
Give us your best elk rut impersonation, Omar.
We need to get him in front of the camera before he does that.
Do his best elk rut.
There you go. Yeah.
Smart man.
I thought so.
Yeah, I would do the same.
You know,
do you ever pick up a bow? You're more of a rifle guy.
I do.
I don't know if I've ever seen you bow hunt.
I tried it once. I missed the biggest deer in my life, California deer.
Really?
With a bow.
How big?
Okay. Well, for California,
it's about 210.
No.
Come on.
He was in the 80s.
Still, 80s. It's a big buck. Deer. Big buck anywhere.
For California, especially where we were at. I mean, that's huge. Yeah, I missed him long. I mean, this was years ago. And I thought, well, this is stupid. Because then he messed with me afterwards.
He taunted you?
Oh. Dude. I missed. I was one of those things where I missed the shot, and then everything after that was just his head. Mm-hmm. And then he just sat there and he'd look at me. I'm like, you might, and I'd try to move. And then he would move and he'd sit there and he'd look back at me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right.
You. Man, they can be so finicky.
Yeah. I mean, but so I knew nothing about archery. And I was using like my dad's old like 80s version. I don't even know what they called them back then. I don't know if they were I think compound. Were they compound?
Yeah, 80s.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Bear. I was using one of them. And mm-hmm. I think like the arrows were like the old aluminum dudes.
XX75.
You know? Yeah, classics.
Yep.
So yeah, that was pretty much the extent of my archery. I do have a bow. I don't know what it is. I haven't opened the case. It's a newer one. A buddy of mine gave it to me. He said, hey, if you ever get into it, here's a bow. I think it's a Hoyt.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean.
It's probably got some dust on it.
Probably. It's in the shop. So, no, I haven't picked it up yet. I don't know what I'm going to kill with it yet. I might try elk with it. I should. I was sitting up there
built for
on
bowling.
The opener with a bullet came screaming right at my back. And, of course, I'm looking for deer.
Yeah.
But.
You should chase antelope in Wyoming with your bow.
Yeah.
Being a resident.
No kidding.
I thought about that. I got a pond on my property that they love. It's a dried up pond, but they love to fawn. They love to fawn in that little deal. But they're always on there during that time of year. So I'm like, I should probably get a blind and set it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they're used to it. And then.
Yeah.
You married? Got kids?
No, I'm not. Neither one.
That's why this makes you're a perfect candidate for this job.
Yeah,
not married, no kids, full tilt all the time.
No, yeah, it's just
yeah. No, that's good.
Can I jump to one more, one different thing, different subject?
It's up to you, B-Mills.
It's kind of like one of those left field things. Not really, though.
All right.
Let's talk about predictive draws.
Didn't AI create those?
Who?
Predictive odds. If you guys haven't noticed, current insiders, Utah and Colorado, we now have predictive odds.
Yeah,
live.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, they're pretty.
I just want to bring it up because I was going to tout your horn for you because you were a big part of predictive odds.
Yeah, we worked pretty hard. Pretty hard. We worked really hard on bringing those up. We're going to be rolling out some more states as time moves on here. But Wyoming will be next, and I think we're going to pump out Arizona. But yeah, we've been working our butt off on getting those out and available to you. People have been asking for those too. As a matter of fact, people have been really confused on draw odds period for years.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people thought before we already had predictive odds, but didn't really realize that our draws we had was an exact representation of the previous year's draw.
Correct.
And they always thought we were predicting it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Every odd you've seen until now has been what has been.
Yeah. Or right? What we call like historical draw odds.
Yeah. Yep.
So my understanding is that it's right now we're mainly focused on states that are, you know, either states that offer permits guaranteed to high point holders, right? So like a preference point state or a bonus point state that offers permits to a group of people that are a high point holder, right?
Correct.
So like Utah, for example, if you're talking limited entry elk, they're going to take 50% of the permits for any given hunt. They're going to allocate those to the people with the most points, right?
That's right.
Same with Colorado right now, pure preference point state, meaning people with the most points that apply for any given hunt draw the tags, right?
Yep.
What's the, and you don't have to answer this if you don't know that, don't know the answer, but what's the feasibility of predicting odds in a state like Idaho or New Mexico that's a fully random?
So we're going to start playing with that. Random ones are going to be tricky just because they fluctuate worse in point states
sure.
do on a unit level, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's
more variability, I guess I would say, in what people apply for.
If you had a stable state, something that doesn't change much, they don't change quotas much, and you had the data to back it up as far as your applicants and your tags,
mm-hmm.
yes, you could come up with a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is based off of a trend. We all use trends as it is. Well, I wouldn't say we all. A lot of us use trends as it is now. and to a lot of the folks that might be listening to this, that there's trends for you to look at as well too. So if you can use the trending data and you use the assumption that either A, the trend will continue,
mm-hmm.
then yes, even a non-point state, a random state can have a prediction.
Yeah,
because the only real outliers I've ever seen in random draw states is like, you know, a bunch of people apply for something, obviously makes the draws go down, and then they see something with better draw odds, they're like, oh, I'm going to switch to that one next year. And then the other one actually gets better because you have people just swaying back and forth, chasing high, better draw odds compared to lower stuff. And like, that's the only variability.
I know internally when we met, we talked, and to me, like the message that I kept hearing, and I think it's probably true based on what I know and just the information that I track year over year, is that people are probably more predictable than we think that they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if it's not the exact same individual or group of individuals that's applying for the same hunt, same, you know, year after year after year at the same choice, it's people in a similar number. Does mm-hmm. that make sense? That are yeah. applying for any given hunt or any given unit. And I would think, my gut tells me, and I can't say, you know, unequivocally, my gut tells me that if you're able to run that model, somebody develops and runs that model because they'd be far smarter than I am. I would bet we can probably get really close.
Yeah.
That's my gut tells
me. So we're already doing.
You're already playing with it?
Yeah, because we've got Wyoming coming out and we've got the resident side of it.
Right, which is random.
Mm-hmm.
Totally random.
And so far, I mean, I'm in the middle of testing that right now.
That one's easier because there's only like 200 people applying.
Right. Very, very minimal.
The whole population would say, right?
And they're coming out really well.
Right.
Yeah. So, like I said, most of prediction is based off trend, and you can't predict what people are going to do. You can't predict what...
Know what people have done, though.
Correct.
And I would think if you have a large enough sample size, you can model that.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I'm certain that within...
Based on how the state conducts the draw
sure.
and trending data, you can put a prediction together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's probably real feasible, and I think we should probably have it, I would think, within short order,
mm-hmm.
which would be interesting. I'm looking forward to actually using that. And we talked a little bit of predictive odds. We didn't talk too much, I guess.
A whole lot. That's why I wanted to kind of bring it up again. And
yeah. I mean, I look at it as, like, I guess I would put it in two different buckets. I would say it's one for people that are a little bit more nonchalant. You know, they want to apply, but they, you know, they just want to apply for a hunt that they can draw. I think this now gives them the ability to very quickly analyze a unit and just pick one based on the predicted draws, right?
Right.
And then for people that are maybe a little bit more in depth, like to me, I look at it as just like another piece in the puzzle that mm-hmm. gives me more confidence, you know?
Another thing to look at.
Yeah, I can look at it. I can go into the individual detailed draw odds page. I can look at the number of applicants year over year, the number of permits allocated to each point level year over year.
And yeah,
I can
trending lines last, you know,
yeah,
so,
and
so many years.
I can start to look at that, and I can really feel more confident, I guess, in my selection because it's just another piece of the puzzle. It's a little vote of confidence from the powers that be at Go Hunt to say, hey, you know what? Your chances are this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of us predict as it is.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. And
but I think we only do it on a micro level where I think this takes it to a macro because you're pulling in years and years and years and years of data and you're modeling it mm-hmm. versus trying to like make sense of it all on your own in my little pea brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah. It's been that as well has been an interesting journey.
Mm-hmm.
So, the fact that we finally got it together and got it live, and that was pretty cool. So,
mm-hmm. I think it makes sense to you that somebody like yourself that's been so involved, hands-on, and like proofing those and looking through them and understanding them and understanding the data sets that go into them is going to be key and make you that much more prepared to then assist people with a real high confidence level of what they should draw. You know, helping them with their application and finding a hunt that's going to fit their objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I hope so.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
Well, right on. You have any other questions for Nate, Bear?
Nathaniel?
Nathan?
Yeah. No,
Nathan doesn't feel right. I've only ever known you as Nate.
Yeah.
So. Porter owned that one, I guess.
When's the rest of your facial hair going to grow in? Or is it just the mustache that grows?
It's just the mustache, you know. A lot of people say that, you know, mustache tells 30%. For me, personally, I think it tells about 95% or so.
Kind of like that confidence interval we have for a predictive, 95%.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brady, when are you going to go with just a mustache?
I've had a few stashes over the years, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've had one. I go from time to time with a sweet stash.
This time of year, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when you take it away, especially, you know, February. I think it was minus 21 when I left home this morning.
Yeah.
It's a little nip on the face.
Yeah.
You know, that's about when you appreciate a good beard.
I got one thing before we let you go.
Oh, shit.
We should probably get back to the expo. I haven't walked around yet at all.
I haven't either. I haven't been in.
So, yeah.
I got my badge.
How you feeling on Wyoming mule deer? How's the herd looking up there?
Better.
Getting better?
Yeah. So, I just drove down through everything.
Yeah, what's like, what the winter range is looking so like? You seen deer?
No, it looks really good. We had some snow come in a couple weeks ago, and then it got real cold, mm-hmm. like negatives cold. And at first it was a little spooky, but when I drove down today, it was actually kind of a sigh of relief because, shit, it looks good out there.
Mm-hmm.
I poked around quite a bit over the last couple weekends, and everything's fat, mm-hmm. happy.
Yep.
I was talking to some biologists there out of Kemmerer, and just going to get their take on it too. And they're going, yeah, everything's fat, happy.
Yeah. I saw the report they put out a little bit ago. I read through that and looked at all that stuff. That's pretty cool to see.
So it's like, if it keeps up and we don't get any freak stuff, it'll be another winter that things did okay.
We need
and,
that.
I've heard through the grapevine and talked to some guys. I'm trying to decide how much I believe it. I think there's probably some merit to it, but I've had a number of people say that they feel like, even though there's less deer on the landscape due to that winter kill, they feel like the bucks that they are seeing are putting on more antler growth,
mm-hmm.
because there's just better feed. And we talked to Brian a little bit about it.
Yeah.
Basically, they're taking the cream of the crop, right? So the best of the best feed, and the range seems to be in pretty good condition. So, guys, I've talked, and I'm sitting on a bunch of points in Wyoming. I have a hard time burning deer points anywhere because I'd rather hunt elk. But, yeah, guys are starting to say, hey, I think you gotta think long and hard about it.
Can we trade points somehow?
Could, my yeah, elk, we could. I'd love that. Yeah, I'd love that.
We should talk.
That'd be great.
Maybe we should communicate.
Trade yeah. some Pokemon cards.
The difference between 2 years ago and last year was big.
Gotcha.
And everything looked real good.
Hmm.
So this one, probably the next one, I think. I mean, if like I said, things got to continue as they are. But, yeah, they're getting close. But numbers, I think, are shy, mm-hmm. for sure.
How about antelope? Do you have much of a gauge on what those look like? I know that so antelope are pretty prolific, right? Like, they'll rebound pretty quick. I know that they cut a bunch of tags that year. It seemed like some of them came back.
I noticed last year, because they kind of, where I'm at, they beat feet right about September. They kind of leave where I'm at. This spring, the numbers were up.
Okay.
From the year before.
Mm-hmm.
I just noticed, and that's just noticing more where my property is.
Right.
I mean, that year after the winter, it was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, all right, these little bastards. I mean, because they were everywhere.
Yeah. So. I don't think that they've put out recommendations as of yet.
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't either. They usually do. And I always try to go through when I look at that article and compare year over year, you know, whether they're decreasing or increasing tags and give people an idea on what's going up and what's going down. Because that can really be the difference of like where you decide to apply or not.
And
antelope are one of those ones. It's like you can drop 250 permits and then, you know, within 3 years or something, you're back 100 more than they had, you know?
Right.
You're like, oh man, we're back. So they come and go. Elk doing good. Plenty of elk.
Yeah. Things are everywhere, man.
God. Plenty of elk.
Jeez. It's the dumbest thing ever. They're everywhere. I'm not kidding.
I love that.
Now, I can't go deer hunting and not run into a shit pile of elk.
See? Elk, man, they're going to be here with cockroaches in the end of time.
Yeah.
That's great.
No, they're doing just fine.
Yeah. How? What's the best way to sign up for an Insider Plus account, or how do people get a hold of you?
So people can get a hold of me. They can either hit us at the main website, reachus@gohunt.com, or myself, Nate Bear. You can reach me at Nate, N-A-T-E, at gohunt.com. We'll make sure Omar to put that in the dealio
in the notes, downstairs. Okay. The show notes,
yeah.
As the professionals say.
Yeah. That's the best way to get a hold of me. And we can get you into Insider Plus, get you signed up, shoot you a link, all that stuff. Cause we don't have a live link on the site. Cause like I said, right now, this is a beta yeah. test on this. And, but if you're interested, hit me up. We'll talk. Get you signed up.
Appreciate you. As always, buddy.
Well, appreciate you having me.